Talk Shoes. Recorded live.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Fight for Our Freedom Radio. And I'm your host, Bad Baby. And tonight we are so honored to have with us John DiNardo, and we are going to be talking about Planet X. And John is a former U.S. Marine aircraft electronic technician. He has a bachelor's degree in science and education from Keene University. He specializes in physics and biology, and he was also a high school teacher for the 12th graders. So he is a very well-educated man. John is a family man. He believes in the Lord. And he has done quite a bit of research on Planet X. Hello, John. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm fine. And thanks so much for having me on your broadcast.
Oh, we thank you. You are just a vast of information, mister. I've been listening to all your shows, and I am so honored. I had messaged you quite some time ago, and when you got back with me, I was just like, whoa, all right.
Well, it's just I'm just an ordinary person like you and everyone else. Incidentally, how much time do we have, 1 or 2 hours?
We have 2 hours.
Okay. Do you want me to get started?
I would love you to get started, and just start wherever you want. I imagine you have some new updates for us, so why don't you, a lot of my audience already knows about Planet X, but there are some new people in here that don't, so we'll let you get started and go where you want to go from here.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned the updates. I'll start with the current information as you had suggested, and then we'll go back to the historical evidence. We had a recent report from the largest radio telescope on planet Earth that was issued in mid-December, just a couple of months ago. And that report was from independent, non-governmental, that means honest, astronomers, a whole team of these astronomers from all over the world, many, many different countries. And they issued a report stating that they had sighted with this most powerful radio telescope on Earth what they believe is Planet X. Now, this must have shocked. I can see from the reverberations that this must have shocked NASA and the power elite who dominate the truth and suppress the truth in every aspect of our lives, as we all know. And so they had to change. And this is here how I would like to point out that the evidence that there is a Planet X and that the government has been covering up this object, which is gravitationally incoming. The evidence is that they have changed their cover-up story in an act of desperation, according to my analysis. You see, all these years, their story was there is no Planet X. Then they had various ways of trying to detract from that belief by ridiculing it, making anyone who talked about it seem to be crazy. And now, after over a third of a century from the time that this Planet X was sighted by none other than the United States government under NASA, a third of a century later, they changed their story from there is no Planet X to yes, there is an object out there, but it's not incoming. So therefore, it's not a threat because it'll just stay out there. It's benign. And I like to call it what their benign Planet 9 because they call it Planet 9. So perhaps the word benign is a little bit a way of emphasizing the new lie that it is there, but it's not incoming. And in fact, they diminished the size of it too, according to the report. Now, this report, this what I would call the follow-up report, in reactionary report, in response to or in reaction to the ALMA Observatory's observation in December, Incidentally, I forgot to tell you the name of this observatory in Chile, which the independent astronomer cited. It's called the ALMA, and that's an acronym that is short for Atacama, which is a place in Chile, Atacama Large Millimeter Array. So that's the acronym would be ALMA. These ALMA observatories, astronomers, is somebody on the line? Hopefully nobody in my, somebody on my side just picked up the line. Well, anyway, these astronomers cited it in December, and now the reaction to it came out from a U.S. government proxy, what I know to be a proxy, and that is California Institute of Technology. In the month of January, just a month after the ALMA sighting, they came out with a report, which obviously was a change in their tune, is determined to do damage control, to admit that it's there because they could no longer cover it up, but yet make it still seem benign and no incoming threat. And what the article stated basically that there were comets that were being pulled in, because comets, the evidence of comets being pulled in is one of the major clues as to a large body coming in, because this large
and they're
body,
not reporting all of the comets that are coming into our atmosphere, are they?
No, they're trying to downplay that. I've been trying
to
follow the
reports. Yeah, I
noticed
that too, John. You know, did you hear about the one that struck in the university and killed one of the students?
What location was that?
It was in overseas somewhere.
Are you, you're not referring to the one in Russia, are you?
No, this was just recently.
Okay, it must have been a meteorite.
Yes, it was a meteorite.
Yeah, that's a good point you bring up. You know, when you have these comets coming in, these comets are sort of thrown in, cast in to our inner solar system from the outer solar system. Whenever a large body is coming in, just imagine the hand of a pitcher, a baseball pitcher, and just visualize the way he winds up to throw the ball. He rears back, and then his arm goes all the way back to in his windup, and then he throws his arm violently forward and casts the ball forward. That's similar to what happens when these large bodies come in. They gravitationally capture smaller bodies, and in their inward motion, they cast smaller bodies forward like a baseball pitcher would throw a baseball. And that's why we're seeing so many objects coming in, because, as you know, there is outside, way beyond Pluto, there is a ring of objects called a Kuiper belt. Supposedly a ring. And then beyond that ring in our solar system, even beyond the Kuiper belt, is the Oort cloud, O-O-R-T, the Oort cloud. And that is a spherical cloud of comets that is completely encloses the entire solar system like a bubble. A bubble made not of bubble gum or any kind of clear plastic, but a bubble comprised of trillions and trillions of comets swarming around randomly. Now, what they noticed was some of these comets that were being cast in, you cannot see the Oort cloud because it's too far out. But some of the comets being cast in could be seen, and they were not randomly coming in. Like, you know, on a summer night when you're outside and it's kind of dark, you can't see the background, but you, in the foreground, closer to you, you can see these mosquitoes and gnats swarming around, and there's no pattern to their flight. They're not in formation or anything like that. But they're just randomly swarming. Well, that's what normally they would detect, these incoming, randomly swarming comets. Well, Professor John Matisse at the University of Louisiana, for several decades now, he had detected non-random comets. In other words, comets coming in that were seemed to have a pattern to their flight paths. And he deduced logically from this that there was some object that is gravitationally casting these objects in. And Professor John Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y, at the Open College in London, around the other side of the globe practically, came up with the same discovery. So, and these two astronomers were acting independently. They both observed the same things. There was non-random, some kind of a detectable pattern to the motion of some of these incoming comets from the Oort cloud. Okay, there's your first evidence. Now, fast forward, that was back in the 1990s. Fast forward now 25 years, and you find out that now it's becoming more apparent that these comets are coming in. And as you say, there are more of them. So naturally, NASA, they could lie to the public, but they cannot lie to the world's astronomers who are observing these comets coming in. So what they had to do was admit the truth, but still try to twist the truth in order to prevent panic. And that's obviously even a benevolent government would probably try to do that, probably try to prevent public panic. But a benevolent government would, if they cared about the people's welfare, would warn the people that in a less alarming way by telling them to get prepared. There may be some storms, there may be disasters, so you people better start getting prepared, you know, because many people will survive impacts, but the great majority will die from starvation, dehydration for lack of water, disease, and that's where the vast majority of people will die from these disasters, because the power grid will be destroyed. And the power grid would be destroyed by the solar excitations, which have been occurring, as everyone knows. Solar flares, and these flares are so powerful in their expulsion of electrified particles, electrons and protons, both of which are protons are electrically positive charged particles. They're actually hydrogen ions, and they're positive. And the protons, in addition to the protons, there are electrons which are electrically negative in charge. Well, they're both spewed out by the sun normally in what's called the solar winds. But now the sun, when it becomes hyper-excited by the electrical excitations of this object coming in, and especially the alignments, whenever you have an alignment of outer planets with the sun, you're always going to have solar excitation, solar hyperactivity, because what happens, it's like a bug zapper. You know, how does a bug zapper work? I don't know if they still use them anymore, but they make a lot of noise. Whenever a bug flies into this electrified grid, there's an electrostatic field that's generated, high voltage. It's an electric field that exists between two plates that are a distance of several inches apart. The bug is attracted to the light, and when the bug flies in between the two plates, there's an invisible electric field between the two plates that electrocutes the bug. Now, notice that there's no discharge when there's no bug flying in there. That's interesting, isn't it? That's because of the insulation effect of the air. Air is an insulator to some extent. So the farther away the two plates are, the more insulated they are, and the less likely it is for the positive high-voltage plate to discharge to the negative or vice versa plate. So, but when a bug flies in there, the bug effectively reduces the resistance, creates sort of a channel, an electrically conductive channel in the air within that field, so that field is now more conductive, and in an abrupt fashion, there's an immediate instantaneous discharge of electrons from the negative plate to the positive plate, and that's what kills the bug. The same principle applies on a macrocosmic scale. When a large object comes in and aligns, even when Jupiter, for example, suppose there was no large object, but Jupiter would suppose it aligns in its rotation, in its revolution around the sun with, say, Mars, the next closest planet, and then that would suppose Jupiter and Mars also align with Earth. They just happen to be at that point in their and their three planets revolution around the sun such that they line up in a direct line all together with the sun. Well, there would be a tremendous discharge of electricity. Where would the electricity come from? Well, the electricity is constantly being spewed out by the sun in the solar winds. So the space within our solar system is really sort of a cloud of electrified particles. And that's how you get the discharge, because now we have these electric particles, and they're unlikely to discharge until three planets align and reduce the resistance such that there is greater conductivity along that focused line of planets to the sun. And this problem is now exacerbated by this incoming dwarf star, because it is unlike the other planets. Well, you know, much more so than the other planets, this object is highly drenched in protons. It's much more electrically charged than the other planets. And the reason is it has entered through the Oort cloud, and beyond the Oort cloud, or somewhere actually within the Oort cloud, further, is another invisible sphere, and that is, it is a sphere composed of primarily electrically positive protons. It's called plasma. Electrically positive protons are basically called plasma. There may be a few electrons, but they're mostly protons that have been blown out by the sun in its solar winds. So just like it's like sort of the sun is like a point in the center of a huge sphere, blowing things out in all directions, electrical particles. And so now this highly charged object comes in, and now you have more and more intense and more frequent electrical discharge from this object to Jupiter when it comes in. And when it discharges to Jupiter, that's less excitation for the sun. And that would explain that period of less excitation when Planet X was aligned with Jupiter and discharging to Jupiter. That period accounted for the period of quiescence that we had a few years back, where the sun went extremely quiet, more with less solar activity than had ever been recorded throughout history. That's how quiet the sun became. And the explanation that I would give is that the sun, that this object has been discharging to Jupiter, and Jupiter therefore has been basically flirting with Planet X rather than flirting with the sun. You could analogize it to something like Jupiter is married to the sun, and they're supposed to interact, but then Jupiter found a new lover, an electrical lover, so to speak. But that changes, because now Jupiter is constantly revolving around the sun. So its alignment, its proximity to Planet X is going to change. Planet X is coming in too, but how is it coming in? It's not coming in on a circular orbit or a quasi-circular orbit as all of our planets do, but it's coming in on an elliptical orbit. And if you look at it, it almost approximates a straight line. So it's going to change, and then after a period of a year or two, that solar quiescence disappeared, and then we had Planet X began to interact more with the sun, and then you had an increased activity of the sun. So now solar activity has been completely disrupted, and this is another major sign that some object is interacting electrically with the sun. The fact that the normal 11-year activity cycle of the sun has been changed, has been broken up, shows that there's something coming into our solar system that's acting like another irregular, disrupting Jupiter, only on a larger scale than Jupiter. You see, before this object came in, astronomers and astrophysicists could always expect, and they could always plot, a regular periodic activity cycle of about 11 and a half years. And that was due to the fact that when Jupiter orbits around the Sun, it's the Sun is not at the center of Jupiter's orbit. So that at one point in Jupiter's long orbit, I don't know how many years it is, I have to check it, but it's many years. I think it's, well, what am I saying? It's 11 and a half years it takes to make one rotation, one revolution of Jupiter around the Sun. And in that 11-year revolution, it reaches a point where it is closest to the Sun because, again, the Sun is not at the very center of its revolutionary path. So when it's closest to the Sun, that point is called perihelion. And, of course, the proximity of two bodies is the most influential factor in the interaction between those two bodies, much more than the gravity between them, much more than the electric fields between them. It is the proximity. The closer, if they get a little bit closer, their interaction between them becomes much significantly greater. So that's what happens when Jupiter hits that perihelion or closest approach to the Sun in its revolution, in its 11.5-year revolution. You get solar hyperactivity that builds up, and then as Jupiter continues in its revolution around the Sun and it goes further out, then the solar interaction decreases and you have less solar electrical activity. So this is what's called the Jupiterian solar cycle every 11.5 years. This proves, actually, when you stop and think about it, this proves that large bodies such as Jupiter, which is essentially almost a baby sun, not quite big enough to ignite, large electrified bodies such as Jupiter will in fact indeed cause the sun, affect the emission and the solar blasting from the sun of electrical particles. So there's proof right there. And the fact that this hyperactivity has been accentuated at points and it's been skewed in time so that it doesn't come, the hyperactivity of the sun doesn't come at that 11.5-year point. It comes at odd times and in extreme intensities too. So there's more proof that we got a real problem. We got an intruder coming into our solar system.
And the government knew a long time ago, didn't they, John?
The government knew. First of all, I'm glad you brought that up. The evidence, I've got the newspaper articles going back to, let me start. I'm glad you brought that up because now it's time for a little bit of news information from the government reports. Went to my county library and I actually photocopied from the archives because I knew I had to make photocopies of these newspaper articles or else people would not believe transcripts. So these are the actual articles that I photocopied and I sent them to Marshall Masters. And they're all over the internet when I had put them out. You can find them. And I'll show you later on if you want to find get these copies of these. But the first article I'd like to read is from the New York Times. This is a landmark report from the New York Times, Sunday, January 30th, 1983. Title of this New York Times article, January 1983, is Clues Get Warm in the Search for Planet X by John Noble Wilford. Quote, something out there beyond the farthest reaches of the known solar system seems to be tugging at Uranus and Neptune. Some gravitational force keeps perturbing the two giant planets, causing irregularities in their orbits. The force suggests a presence far away and unseen, a large object that may be the long-sought Planet X. Evidence assembled in recent years has led several groups of astronomers to renew the search for the 10th planet. They are devoting more time to visual observations with the 200-inch telescope at Mount Palomar in California. They are tracking two Pioneer spacecraft now approaching the orbit of distant Pluto to see if variations in their trajectories provide clues to the source of the mysterious force. Now, just a side comment, what they're talking about is the launching of the Pioneer 10 and 11 space probes. Pioneer 10 is the one we want to focus on. Pioneer 10 space probe was sent out to way out in deep space It was a long, long journey because it had to go to the outer bounds of our solar system in order to get very close to where the scientists, astronomers, astrophysicists had detected and calculated that this invisible object was located. They could not see it, but they could see its gravitational pull on the outer planets Neptune and Uranus. So naturally, they calculated where this invisible gravitational body would be. So they said, let us send up this Pioneer 10 space probe very close to it and monitor the trajectory. If the trajectory of that Pioneer 10 space probe gets pulled slightly toward in that direction when it should not be, then we know that there's some gravitational body pulling on the Pioneer 10 space probe, and that'll give us evidence that this object is there. So that's what they're talking about in this article. They sent up the Pioneer spacecraft to see if variations in the Pioneer space probe's trajectory would indicate the gravitational pull on the space probe. And I'm continuing the article. And they are hoping that a satellite-borne telescope launched last week will detect heat signatures from the planet or whatever it is out there. The infrared astronomical satellite, remember that acronym IRAS, infrared astronomical satellite, was boosted into a 560-mile high. Imagine that. It's outside of the Earth's atmosphere where the skies are clear and it can get a good view, a good infrared view, that is. 560-mile high polar orbit Tuesday night from Vandenberg Air Force Base, California. It represents an $80 million venture by the U.S., Britain, and the Netherlands. Wow, that's cheap, isn't it? $80 million? In those days, it's probably, you know, equivalent to $0.8 billion today. In the next 6 or 7 months, the telescope is expected to conduct a wide-ranging survey of nearly all the sky, detecting sources not of ordinary light, but of infrared radiation, which is invisible to the human eye and largely absorbed by the atmosphere. Scientists thus hope that the new telescope will chart thousands of infrared-emitting objects that have gone undetected, stars, interstellar clouds, asteroids, and with any luck, that object that pulls at Uranus and Neptune. The last time a search of the skies was made, it led to the discovery in 1930 of Pluto, the ninth planet, but the story begins more than a century before that, after the discovery of Uranus in 1781. Wow, it's a long time ago, 1781, by the English astronomer and musician William Herschel. Until then, the planetary system seemed to end with Saturn, as astronomers observed Uranus, noting irregularities in its orbital path. Many speculated that they were witnessing the gravitational pull of an unknown planet. So began the first planetary search based on astronomers' predictions, which ended in the 1840s. With the discovery of Neptune, almost simultaneously by English, French, and German astronomers. But Neptune was not massive enough to account entirely for the orbital behavior of Uranus. Indeed, Neptune itself seemed to be affected by a still more remote planet. In the late 19th century, two American astronomers, William Pickering and Percival Lowell, predicted the size and approximate location of this trans-Neptunian body, which Percival Lowell called Planet X. So this Planet X name has been an official astronomer's name for well over 100 years. It's not, some mythical thing. People who are ignorant believe that the name signifies some cheap science fiction movie, but really it's been an official astronomer's term for well over a century. Continuing with the article, years later, Pluto was detected by Clyde Tombaugh, working at that very same Lowell Observatory in Arizona. And so on. I'll skip a little bit for brevity. Recent calculations by the United States Naval Observatory have confirmed the orbital perturbation exhibited by Uranus and Neptune. So the U.S. Naval Observatory actually confirmed that, yeah, those two planets, Uranus and Neptune, those are gas giants way out at the outer bounds of our solar system. Both of them were perturbed or pulled out of their orbits at a particular point, indicating some gravitational body was pulling on them. Dr. Thomas Van Flandern, an astronomer at the U.S. Naval Observatory, says this could be explained by a single undiscovered planet. He and a colleague, Dr. Robert Harrington, calculate that this 10th planet should be 2 to 5 times more massive than Earth and have a highly elliptical orbit that takes it some 5 billion miles beyond that of Pluto. This is the most telling comment of the entire report, I think. The 5 billion miles beyond Pluto, hardly next door, but still within the gravitational influence of the sun. Now, the reason I say this is the most important comment, that this object, even though it's 5 billion or more miles out there, these scientists tell us it's still being gravitationally pulled in by the sun, which means it's going to get closer and closer to our inner solar system, closer and closer to the sun.
So our sun is actually a magnet for this.
Yes, because it's of gravity. The force of gravity works just in the same way that the force of gravity would pull a meteor from the skies and cause it to plunge into Earth. That's gravity. No, it will not. And the reason is that there is one of the likely reasons is that God made it this way. You know, you can't say that, well, it won't hit the sun because it's just a coincidence, because people wouldn't believe me if I told them it's a coincidence that it'll come toward the sun, but it won't hit the sun. And then skeptics would say, now, why doesn't it crash into the sun? Well, God created it this way. It has, you know, like all scientists, and you can check astronomers' reports today, and they will tell you that a dwarf star, something like Jupiter actually is almost a dwarf star. These dwarf stars have magnetic fields. And when the magnetic fields of two bodies interact like two magnets, if you have them in the wrong, both similar polarities, the same polarities of both magnets facing one another, they will repel, as you know. Like charges or like polarities repel. Opposite mm-hmm. charges or opposite polarities attract. So God made it such that when this planet comes in, there's a repulsion force due to the two repelling magnetic fields, the magnetic field of the sun and the magnetic field of this object. Now, we know, and actually there's more evidence that they will not, that this object will not collide with the sun, in the fact that we have amazing archaeological evidence absolutely proving that this object has come in a number of times in the past throughout ancient history, and the evidence is in many forms. One of the pieces of evidence is that there's an astronomer, for example, I have him on videotape, and I'm sorry, a geologist named Carl Loebstrom. Carl, Loebstrom. He was working at the Pisgah lava beds near Barstow, California. And this videotape goes back over a third of a century when videotapes first became popular. And he is stating on this videotape that they're studying ancient hardened lava flows from thousands of years ago. And, of course, in the lava is going to be some iron molecules. And they were able to determine the polarity, the direction at which these iron molecules were aligned and pointing relative to the Earth, the geological poles of the Earth. And, of course, as you know, like a compass needle has a magnet on it so that it will point to wherever magnetic north is. Well, the hardened lava, those molecules, acted very much like compass needles in ancient times, and they pointed to the magnetic north of the Earth that was magnetic north at that time, thousands of years ago. Well, what Karl Lobstrom discovered was they were pointing in a different direction to what we now know as the North Pole. They're still pointing to magnetic north. Magnetic north has not changed its position, but the geographical point on the crust of the Earth that's called geographical North Pole has shifted. And I guess I should try to give you a vivid visual image of that. If you can imagine a clear plastic globe, sphere, hollow, clear plastic sphere filled with water, or say partially filled with water, and this sphere is mounted on the center of a table, and there is a vertical spindle or shaft going through the top of this globe, through the water inside of it, and coming out the bottom of the globe. And then this globe is sitting on the table, and the spindle is penetrating through the top of the table, through a hole in the table, so that what we can spin this imaginary globe filled with water, and assuming there's no leaks in it, of course, spin the globe horizontally. The water will, of course, will flow, and the surface of that water swirling will be horizontal relative to the horizontal table type top and relative to the floor. Let's assuming that everything is all parallel. The tabletop and the floor and the surface of the water are all parallel to one another. Now, if I were to come along and lift up one side of that table, the entire globe and its axis would tilt according to the degree to which I lifted the edge of that table. However, the swirling water within the globe would still remain horizontal, wouldn't it? Could you visualize that?
Mm-hmm.
It would remain horizontal relative to the floor. Well, but yet the entire globe itself is tilted. So now that horizontal flowing water inside represents the Earth's molten metal core, mostly iron. And it swirls around in a big whirlpool, and that whirlpool is what degenerates the Earth's magnetic field, believe it or not. It's like a dynamo. You swirl this molten iron, and because the molten iron is magnetic, and because there are free electrons in that molten iron, I won't go into a lot of detail, but you have these electrons swirling, and when you have electrons in motion inside the Earth in a swirling circle, there is an electromagnetic field that is generated perpendicular to that swirling circle. And it's like taking a ring. If you took a big ring and say horizontally and say that ring represents the swirling motion of the Earth's molten iron core, and then you took another ring and you put it around the first ring, the second ring around the first ring would be vertical, would it not be? Would be up and down. It's path. You hold them perpendicular to one another. The first ring would be horizontal. That would represent the Earth's molten iron core swirling around. And then the second ring would represent the invisible lines of electromagnetic field lines that are generated by the swirling electrically charged iron. And that's how the Earth generates this magnetic field. And you've all seen the pictures, the diagrams of the Earth's invisible lines of magnetic flux. They look like vertical rings. If you can visualize an apple, the skin of an apple, and vertical rings, these vertical rings would be like the streaks that you see appearing in some apples. and they would be vertical, extending to up to the top of the apple, through the dimple in the core, and then down through the center of the core in a continuous loop, down through the bottom of the core, and that would be like the south pole where it exits the bottom of the core of this apple, and then loops back around to the skin and forms one complete loop. That would be one invisible electromagnetic field line. You have many of these lines all encircling the apple, all vertically around the apple. And if you took many rings, there would be another visual representation of what I'm talking about, the magnetic field of the Earth. So
the molten lava has iron in it, and is this why we're seeing all these volcanoes that are becoming active, because it's pulling on the iron ore?
Well, actually, the volcanic eruptions are caused by the heating up at the Earth's molten iron core, the heating up of the core itself, and of the magma. Outside of the core, let's see, how can we visualize this? I'm trying to think of something that would represent it, but if you can visualize the swirling metal core and swirling iron inside, and then surround, take that sphere that I just gave you a visual representation of, and then put another sphere, a bigger one, and closing that first sphere, okay? Now, the second sphere has, say, something like chocolate pudding in between the outer boundaries of the first sphere and the inner lining of the second sphere. That's what the Earth looks like. So basically, it's like a Can you visualize an avocado? The pit of the avocado is rather large, and let's stretch our imagination and imagine that pit were swirling liquid, like the molten iron core, rather than a solid pit. And then the flesh of the avocado would be like the viscous mantle of outside and wrapped around the molten iron core. That mantle is molten rock. It's so hot, it's actually in a molten state, but it's not very thin. It's very thick, sort of like, I'd like to think of it as something like chocolate pudding. And what happens in order to stimulate and get your Earth get hot and its mantle to heat up is excitations that are magnetic in nature, coming from the solar system, all these solar winds blasting out, causing creating magnetic interactions with Earth's magnetic field. And that, in fact, explains, and I think quite convincingly, how Earth's magnetic field has been well known and well documented to be decreasing, diminishing, getting weaker. And that's very dangerous. I mean, everybody knows all the scientific reports that have been issued over the past decade or so about the Earth's magnetic field, magnetosphere, becoming...
Is this why, John, that we're having all these meteorites come in now? Because of our weaker magnetic field?
Yeah, that's a good point. The magnetic field would tend to influence them, although it's probably mostly gravitational. The reason we're having all these comets and meteors is because they're being flung in from this incoming intruding dwarf star.
Yeah, it's the debris field that's bringing along with it, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. It's dragging in probably thousands and thousands of comets and moons and planets. In fact,
right.
James McCandy had sort of let the cat out of the bag and released. He reported, I think, in a very courageous way, the leaks he had been getting from astronomers, professional astronomers, and military types at the Project Wormwood in Australia a few years back, where they were saying, quote, and he quoted them, a mini solar system is moving into our solar system. And what that means is a solar system is simply a sun with other objects revolving around it. And that's what you would normally expect from a large body. It would gravitationally capture comets, and they would some of them would go into orbit around the object, just like our planets go into orbit.
And there are signs that are happening right now that have happened before when this has come through, and these signs are also talked about in the Bible. Can you enlighten us on some of that?
Yeah, in the Bible, well, there's so many of them.
I know the fish dying off is one of them.
Yes, in the book of Exodus, there were the very well-known story and report, which is verified, actually, by non-Christian, non-Judaic Egyptians in ancient history who witnessed these great disasters, too. And we'll talk about that, how the book of Exodus has confirmed the 10 plagues of Egypt in Exodus are confirmed by independent Egyptians in the Colburn Bible. There were 10 plagues, and God was, again, we know that God is bringing this about because God did it in the book of Exodus. And people might say, skeptics or atheists, agnostics might say, well, you know, how do we know this, all this was brought about by God? I mean, it could have been just natural occurrences. Well, if you look at God's claim that he was going to cause these plagues against the Pharaoh, and they all, every one of them came in according to God's interaction with Moses, and that the demands made by God through Moses upon Pharaoh to release the Israelites from slavery. Pharaoh had built up a great empire based upon the slavery of millions of Israelites in Egypt. And God wanted his people to be brought out of there so that they could worship God and no longer worship Pharaoh. That's a picture, a portrait of what's happening today. God gives us many representations poetically portrayed in ancient stories and parables where we can see what God's plan is for us in the future. We are like the Israelites whom God, and those who believe, it doesn't matter what the race is or nationality or ethnic background is, God respects no person's physical genetic background. God respects only that person's faith. And if that person has a true faith in God, then he is considered a spiritual Israelite. Well, the Israelites today spiritually are being shown, those who believe in God are being shown that he wants to break them away from the modern day Pharaoh, the modern day slave master, who was Pharaoh thousands of years ago, but is now the global New World Order under Satan. These people are avowedly proclaiming that they worship Satan as God. And so now we had Satan ruling through Pharaoh, keeping the people tied down and enslaved thousands of years ago, actually 36 and a half centuries ago by Pharaoh through the power of Satan. And today we're having this, we have the same situation where we're going into utter and extreme bondage. Day by day, our bondage grows more deep and more pervasive under this satanic power. And incidentally, the satanic power that rules this global United States government, British government, Israeli government, all the governments, the satanic power is showing itself in many ways with Satan worship on television. This is a little bit of a diversion, but it's not a complete diversion from the subject because God is bringing, in fact, it's at the heart of the subject. And the essence of it is that God is bringing this destruction upon us because he is closing out human existence and renewing it for a greater future for us in a greater world. He's allowing Satan and evil to come to a maximum climax. And what we're seeing is signs of that all around us. As you probably noticed, there's Satan worship on television. For example,
everything in the Super Bowl halftime was satanic.
Yes. I mean, I'm getting sick of seeing hand signs, satanic hand signs. That
yeah.
You can, they're documented in Tex Mars's thick volume called Codex Magica, which I purchased. All these different hand signs, and everybody on television is doing them. The women, the info babes on your news reports, they're doing the hand signs. The sports commentators using satanic hand signs. The people in the commercials using satanic hand signs. I mean, it's completely pervasive, and now they have a new, popular, high-profile, primetime TV show called Lucifer, where some man portraying Lucifer as a man, a charismatic, lovable guy, he's not such a bad guy after all. And that's exactly what all of the historical distortion.
And also the Pope announcing that the Catholic Church does worship Lucifer, which they've been doing all along anyway.
You're right. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, I heard about that. I haven't seen the report, but tell me
Have you ever heard of Kevin Annett?
Kevin Annett, he's a news reporter, isn't he?
He is a former pastor from Canada that had taken the Queen and the Pope and very other elites to the Brussels court and found them guilty of child trafficking and satanic ritual abuse.
Well, it's horrible.
I'm good friends with him. I just interviewed him a few weeks ago.
Well, that's horrifying, and yet it's important that this information is being revealed. We know about their ritual abuse with children, the child sacrifices to Satan. I mean, this is horrible, and some people may find it hard to believe, and so repulsive that they do not want to believe it. But when they believe that when they make a sacrifice to Satan, sacrifice children to Satan, then they get power. Satan in turn gives them power. And that's how they rule the world, through the power bestowed upon them by their worship of Satan.
They believe that the blood of the innocent children empowers them.
Yes, exactly.
Kevin says that they torture these children as they drain their blood as they slowly die because of something about the excitotoxins that are in the blood when the child gets tortured. I mean, these people are sick. He also talks about the hunting down of children in Brussels. They take some of these children to compound somewhere, and they strip them down and release them and hunt them just like animals.
That is so true. I heard that story years ago from other people too. There was a black guy who was my limo driver down in Florida a number of years ago in area of Orlando. And he told me that he was shocked, and he was very emotional when he told me that they'll capture some black guy, young black man, and they'll hunt him down as a sport and kill him. It's horrible.
And the thing is, they're getting more bold with flaunting their satanic agenda in our face, because they're taking God out of the equation by taking the crosses off the tents for the military. They're not allowed to have a Bible on their desk. I mean, you're not allowed to talk about God in the schools, but they're teaching about Satan in the schools.
Yeah, so everything is, all of this repulsive and shocking evil, Satan worship is coming out on television, and it's all the prophecies of God should make us realize that we must turn our minds and our hearts to the presence of God, to worshiping God. And worship, I mean, because we're seeing evidence of his predictions, his prophecies thousands of years ago that are coming true. And if we have, if there's a power, a good power that has told us of the rise of evil, then we must know that that power is someone to be respected. Now, people who don't, profess to believe, but they really don't believe, they have some doubts, they can start out like a mustard seed, you know, the tiny little mustard seed, it grows and eventually into a huge bush, as Jesus says, until it becomes so vast that the birds nest in it and it sprawls out and provides great shade. And that all comes from a tiny little speck of a mustard seed. And that's what happens, would happen to one's faith. So those who have weak faith and are not sure if they believe or not, and those are the ones we're talking to, or the ones you and I and your listeners should be reaching to, in the internet through various channels of communication, we should be telling them that, look, you're seeing the evil that was prophesied thousands of years ago. Here, I'll show you the book. You must admit this book was written thousands of years ago, the Bible.
You know, the thing is, John, I don't think the people see it. I think that they think it's entertainment. And the other thing is, I think a lot of the they're spraying lithium on everybody through the chemtrails, and they're altering people's thoughts through microwaves.
So they're true.
Controlling people with nanobots and thought patterns.
That is so true.
Along with all this.
Exactly. So you're right. I mean, all this is documented. We don't have the time, but it's been well documented by so many researchers, including Clifford Carnicom, and that they are indeed, you know, spraying us with strange particles that are man-made and designed to influence our thoughts. And I know it's hard to believe, but the technologies that they have kept in secret, because they've kept these technologies in secret for so long, we find it hard to believe that they could be so advanced, but they really are.
Well, and that was part. That's part of the objective of why they're bombarding people with fluoride. And the fluoride in the toothpaste. When you brush your teeth, that goes right into your brain. And they use fluoride in the concentration camps to keep people docile.
That's right. In the Nazi concentration camps, that's well documented that they use fluoride to keep them docile. Exactly. And it affects the pineal. It calcifies the pineal gland, which is sort of a spiritual portion of the body. You know, God is so amazing how he created this body, our bodies, such a complex, marvelous creation. And God is still supreme in his power over all of this evil. So what I've been coming to the realization that, and for many years I've known it, but it's becoming so intense, this realization, that no man, no matter how well he preaches, the best preacher in the world, Billy Graham or any of them or whoever you want to name, cannot change a person's heart. They may inspire them for a moment, but as Jesus says in his parable of the sower and the seed, you know, for a moment, for a while, they become excited and enthusiastic about God. And then as they drift away, they go back to television. They forget all about that excitement,
yeah,
that love. They lose that love.
Well, I think the television is hypnotic. You know, people just,
is.
I swear to God, when I quit watching mine, it didn't bother me at all. But there's people, like, they go through withdrawal. I think they get hypnotized through the television. But we do have a caller in that had called in and had their hand up. Let's see, I think they want to ask you a question. Yes, caller, would you like to ask John a question?
Yes, Don. This is what I think. I don't know. You can tell me what you believe, if this is true or not. But I believe there are vortexes of power on the earth. And that what the Satanists are doing is they're trying to excite these vortexes. They know what the ley lines are. I believe that the Georgia Guidestones are on one of them, but I believe also that there's a vortex over my city, and it's like the Magneto lines that you're talking about, the lines of the apple, and
mm-hmm.
it circulates around the earth, in much the same way. But I believe that there are different vortexes for God also, that the angels go up and down on these ladders.
That's in the Bible.
Yeah, that's Bible. Exactly.
In Genesis.
And I believe that these spiritual vortexes are starting to really get magnetized is the only way I can really describe it. Not only due to the satanic influences, but because God always turns the evil to good, what they're doing is actually exciting what God is doing. Am I making any sense?
That makes sense. It makes perfect sense to me. You can see a biblical reinforcement of what you said. When you go back to the book of Genesis, and after the flood, there appeared a great leader, a great hunter, Nimrod. And they tried to create the Tower of Babel, which would take them to heaven. Well, that sort of is probably what they're referring to was magnetic energy, light energy, some kind of high technology, and people don't understand that there was high technology back then, not immediately after the flood, but during ancient times, and scientists now and archaeologists are beginning to discover that there indeed was high technology thousands of years ago. Well, anyway, through the pyramids, there's some kind of I don't know exactly what the energy is. It's probably electromagnetic because light is electromagnetic, just as magnetism is electromagnetic, just as radio waves are electromagnetic. So they were building some kind of structure that would create what you're talking about, a vortices, which would line up somehow through the earth and through the atmosphere to allow interdimensional beings to come here. Now, that sounds a little bit science fictional.
No, not at all.
Fantasy
to
some people, but I can tell you that I studied science and I specialized in physics, taught physics, and I was a kind of person years ago who would not believe anything that metaphysical such as this, but the only reason it seems metaphysical is because physics and science has not advanced to the point where they can understand this. However, we have secret programs where they are highly advanced in our government and in other governments. They do not tell the people because they're working with the same kind of exotic, fantastic technology that we're talking about right now at CERN.
Right. Understand that some of the pyramids have become active with light rays, light beams coming out of the top of them?
Well, what is that? What?
Some of the pyramids.
Yes, that's what I was referring to. Right, the pyramids. I'm amazed and astonished to hear you say that there's light rays coming out of them, because that's what I had read about, recently and recent years as to the way that these high technology demons, but people who are consorting with satanic powers, they're trying to usher in fallen angels through these portals, invisible portals.
Yeah,
and, so tell me about the light rays coming through the pyramid. Tell me about that.
Well, I had I was on one of the Planet Watch sites, and I had came across an article that it said that pyramids are becoming active around the planet with light beams emitting out of the top of them.
And you should be able to see that.
An article when you talk about these fallen angel things. I saw an article where someone had a blue rubber glove on, and they had a picture of this little. It looked like a miniature monkey with wings that went up the back and down the back. There were four wings, and the article said, "Baby demonic demon was found. That creature never seen on this planet before."
Well, you know, can I take a 2-minute break?
Sure.
Maybe you guys could talk a little bit, and I'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Anyways, I think that, you know, that there are, I think that our layers of dimensions, because there are layers of dimensions.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I was trying to get across, is that they're interdimensional, these bands, these vortexes around the planet. And they also swirl. It's not just straight lines.
This is why
they
swirl
in lines, too, very much like the cloud formations.
This is why I think they've got that CERN collider going, because a lot of times when they CERN up, I've seen pictures of the sky where the clouds were like in a swirl. They're opening up the layers between the dimensions.
That's right. That's what they're doing.
And, you know, they were talking about that on the Jim Baker show one day. I think it was John Shorey that was on there, and he was saying that the Bible tells us that they're going to open up a vortex between a protection that the Lord put up for us, that we would be protecting these things. And they're going to open that door, and who knows what they're going to bring in.
Right, exactly. But what we got to understand and what we always have to remember is that God doesn't allow Satan to do anything that he's not going to come around and turn it for good. Because what they're doing is they are also opening up portals for God's angels to come down.
Right.
Hello.
Hello.
You know, with all this evil, and we can document it. We could talk more and provide more examples for people. I know all of your listeners are believers, but there's still things that we need to know to get these, to get you and your audience motivated spiritually. And that's what I like to talk about. We can get back to Planet X real quick.
I just want to let you know I'm on a poetry site right now, and I'm warning people about this on my poetry site. And I'm also encouraging people to follow Jesus. You know, I am doing that.
Well, that's right. That's the thing to do now. Here, let me give you an example of ways we could teach, show people, because this is a spiritual battle. There is no way that the most conscientious preacher or teacher can ever overcome the demons that inhabit all of us. Now, every one of us, for all of you believers, you know, I don't have to convince you of this, that our ancestors, Adam and Eve, allowed demonic spirits, Satan, to enter them. And at that point, they had the power. They had gave permission to these demons to enter into them and all of their descendants from that time forth.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
We have no power to stop them from entering us. And I can show you scriptures. For example, David, the great King David, when he was anointed by Samuel, the priest, the high priest, as a 16-year-old boy. And the scripture says in 1 Samuel that from that time on, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwelled within David from that time on. However, later on in his life, David was tempted by Satan, and the scriptures tell us in 1 Chronicles 23, somewhere around it. You could look it up. The scriptures tell you that Satan entered into David and tempted him to take an entire census of all the warriors in Israel. Now, God indwell? God's indwelling David at the same time Satan is indwelling David. I mean, this is amazing. God and demons can indwell us together. And that's the state of mankind. I mean, this is scripturally proven through that, those examples that I just gave you from the Bible. And also Paul tells us somewhere in one of his epistles, the Apostle Paul says that demonic spirits enter into us at will. You can look up those words. They enter into us at will. So how can, no one can drive out a demonic spirit. No man can with his fleshly power. So what you do is this. Here, let me give an example. Today, like usually my wife gets angry with me because I spend a lot of time putting this information out on the internet and working on bringing the knowledge of Planet X to people, and I don't do as much work around the house as I should be doing. So normally she's not very friendly. But today, as I was washing up the pots and pans after dinner, I was, you know, I try to, for months and years, I've been trying to commune with God in my mind simply by making, by feeling God's invisible presence. I know he's there because my heart beats every second, even while I'm asleep, thousands of times each night. So I know he's there with me. I know he's abiding with me. And all I have to do is recognize his presence, and then his spirit will speak to me. It's as if, like, my mind is a telephone, and I pick up and I go off hook, and I'm now aware of God's presence on the other line. God is always there calling me, but I don't always pick up the phone in my spirit. So I tried to do that today, as I try to do many times, just simply feel his presence. Because we don't have the kind of high-powered mind that can actually pray to God and then do things at the same time, you know, or we don't know what to pray to. Even if I sat down peacefully and focused on God, what would I say? I mean, I'm like a college freshman, and God is as the, like the professor. How could a college freshman stand up in the midst of the lecture hall and start talking, teaching God or talking to God when he should be sitting down and listening attentively to the professor? So God's a professor. I listen for his, I make myself aware of his presence, which means I'm now entering into his lecture hall. I sit quietly and I listen for him to speak. Now, you'll never hear a voice, but you will get thoughts from God. It may not be at that moment because God wants to build your faith. You may not hear anything, but you're simply there focusing on his presence, and that doesn't take any mental energy at all to simply be aware of it. It does actually, it takes a little bit of practice because people cannot believe, but my faith is growing as a result of this abiding. As Jesus says, abide in me and I will abide in you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock at your heart, your mind, your spirit. I'm beckoning you. Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If any man hear, that means sense his presence, and open the door, I will enter and sup with him and he with me. This means God will commune with you in his mind. He will tell you what to think and how to move, and everything that he says will be a manifestation and an amplification of his word, and you'll get insights that you never would have imagined from various scriptures that he will pop into your mind.
And this is part of the reason why they have poisoned the pineal gland, because the pineal gland is your telecommunication with the spirit world.
Very good. Excellent point. And God will not allow that to happen because God is more powerful than that. So how do I deter this evil onslaught against the pineal gland and against our minds and the minds of my son and my wife and all the thousands and millions of people around me who are being satanically influenced subconsciously, subtly, but through subliminals actually that are being interjected within a movie that the conscious mind cannot even detect, but the subconscious mind picks it up. And it has great influence on the mind. How do we deter all this? Well, by
first of all,
the
we
power
have to
of God, prayer. This is what the kind of prayer that I was telling you about. God will bring his power through you, and he will then transmit his power, his spirit, from you. And that's what happened to my wife. I was just trusting. In my mind, I was thinking, I know that God, you God, will, our Savior, will bring your spirit into through me as I as I contemplate on your presence while I'm washing pots and pans. And what happened was my wife came up to me and she made a very nice remark, a very friendly and, you know, loving remark to me, which is not typical. So that I knew right away. I said, wow, God really did work through me, because he says, let your light so shine. So when you, what does that mean? You know, I don't have any light. I am in sin. You're in sin. We are fallen. We are indwelt. Demons enter into us at will. How do you let your light shine? There's no way that you don't have any light. I don't have any light. But when we contemplate God's Spirit, his light shines through us to others, even though you're silent. Now, I know somebody who works at Walmart, and she's a greeter at Walmart in North Carolina. And she says, oh, I try to be nice to people, you know. But, you know, being nice doesn't help. As a Christian, being nice to people doesn't help too much. It's just a beginning. What you have to do, even if you don't even talk to somebody, the people that I haven't even spoken to, I feel God's presence and trust that his Spirit will emanate from me through them. That's why I go when I went to New York recently on a subway. I couldn't go up to people and start reading scripture to them. They would run away or attack me if I try to read scripture or recite the Bible to people or preach to them. You know how, because the demons, even on my brother, I mean, the demons in them make them revolt, and they get very angry when you try to preach to them. That's why people get angry when you give them their God's word. So now you can see the evidence of these invisible spirits indwelling other people. And the way to get rid of them is silently. Don't even say a word, but just feel God's presence and know and trust in your mind that consciously that God's Spirit is going to enter that person. And that's what I did on the subway without even saying a word to all the people around me. In fact, the more people I have around me, the better opportunity I have is to bring God's Spirit silently and invisibly through me into them, as long as I'm contemplating God's presence. And this little lengthy discourse that I just gave you is the key that God has given to my mind through prayer to driving out these demons. So you can no longer have to be frustrated. You no longer have to be outraged. You no longer have to feel angry because there's nothing you could do about it, and you just get mad because you can't stop it. You no longer have to suffer under that. You know what to do. You just contemplate God's presence. For example, I'm seeing something on television that is vile and disgusting, and, you know, people are blaspheming God. I don't get mad anymore. I just look, and that gives me the power and the spirit and the motivation to simply invoke God's presence and feel his presence in my mind and know that God's presence and his Spirit are going to flow through me to those people in the television, even though they're not really there. God knows where they are, and God's Spirit is going to flow into them and influence them and influence my family and all the people around me. So anyway, that's the way to do it. Just work on that. Work on that, contemplating God's presence. The silent prayer.
Okay. Arizona wants to ask a question again. Okay, let's make this quick, honey, because we want to get back on topic.
I understand. I just want to tell this gentleman that that's exactly what I do.
That's wonderful.
I wasn't taught to do this at all. In fact, I don't hardly go to church.
That's wonderful.
When I see somebody hurting on my poetry site, I just sit there and I wait for him to come. And I just say, God, could you please help this person? I don't know where they are. I don't, these are people all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where they live.
That's marvelous.
I do that. You just confirmed to me that I'm doing the right thing. Thank you.
You sure are. Oh, you're welcome. I'm so glad to hear that. It's so inspiring to hear your story, that what you're doing is you're feeling God's presence and your love for that person, and you're allowing God to transmit his love through you to others. And it's all invisible. It's all silent. And you don't have to preach. I mean, after a while, when God's spirit enters them,
God uses her as an instrument. You know, like he uses her very much, and he knows who he can use to help others.
That's so great. And please, I mean, let's continue day by day, because what's going to happen is demonic spirits are going to make us forget this approach to contemplating God's presence, and that should be done. I try to do it throughout the day. I mean, sometimes my mind is focused on complex things, and I can't always do it. So what I have to do is stop and just say, okay, I'm going to take a break. I'm just going to sit there or stand up and move around a little bit, get the blood flowing, get away from the computer, pick up the weights or something, and just get a little exercise. But at the same time, I'm going to relax my mind. I'm going to meditate. You know, meditation by people in the Far East and in the other cultures that are non-Christian, that meditation brings them closer to God too, even though they don't realize.
We do meditation on Wednesday nights. We teach holistic healing and natural healing of your body through your diet, and we do meditation at the end.
That is terrific. The meditation is marvelous, because what it is, it's prayer. I mean, when you meditate and just contemplate, take the thoughts out of your mind, stop that mind from racing randomly from one thought to another. That's all demonic. I realize that all my life and all your life, all of us, our minds are constantly racing from one thought to another. That's demons entering into us, distracting our minds from communion with God. That's exactly what Pharaoh did to the Israelites. He kept them busy building, making bricks out of mud and straw so they could build Pharaoh's empire. You see, this is all an analogy, a portrait of what Satan does. He keeps our minds busy. There's an old saying, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Well, that's true. I mean, an idle mind that is not in prayer is idle, and it's jumping from one crazy, nonsensical, meaningless, unproductive thought to another. That's the way the human mind works. Why? Because our ancestors, Adam and Eve, allowed demons to enter into us at will.
And this is exactly why the elite is doing all these false flag operations around the United States right now with these random shootings and causing all this chaos. I feel is because they're trying to keep our eye on the chaos and not what's coming at our planet.
Right, and the fear too. Exactly, the fear. So because Satan wants us to be beholden to him, he wants us to worship him. And how does Satan try to get us to worship him? By fear. You know, we are the government. You must worship us. You must do everything we say. And now we're gonna tighten the grip, the vice around you. We're gonna make more draconian laws and oppressive laws, so that you will be completely hogtied. And that's how. And if you don't do it, we're going to punish you. That's what this terrible fascist government is doing around the world, not only here in the U.S., but around the world. It's fear. But God, the fear. God has a plan. His fear is going to greatly overpower Satan's fear, because God's fear is going to come from the skies in the form of meteors striking Earth, in the form of earthquakes and volcanic eruptions and tsunamis, and people will certainly drift, go to the greater power, God, when they see these natural disasters exploding. They will turn to
God. I think
God.
They know exactly when this is going to come in. What do you think, John? Because they're preparing. They're preparing right now with those FEMA coffins. That I've seen videos of trucks that are moving these FEMA coffins around. I also seen an article where they're ordering all these portable morgues for along the New Madrid fault line area. So, you know, and they're preparing. They're getting ready. So they know the date.
The FEMA coffins are for the plagues that they intend to release, to kill millions. And also possibly for the natural disasters too. But you're right. I mean, when you see that activity along the New Madrid fault line, you know that it's related to coming earthquakes. And in fact, yeah, I mean, they trigger some of these things too with HAARP. They know where the great stresses are. They have space technology that's looking at the Earth and detecting where the stresses are, the seismic stresses are, and if they see something like perhaps, and this is something that no one has evidence of it because it's so secret, but you see a lot of people reporting that HAARP has been instrumental, or HAARP is the cause of some of these earthquakes, when in fact HAARP simply pulls the trigger on something that's about to happen naturally.
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking, that when this event comes about, they're going to enhance it with HAARP because they want as many people not to survive as they can get. That's why they aren't telling us.
Exactly. But also the reason why they do this, and I know I've been saying this for a long time on radio shows, the power elite, under Satan, and Satan gives them the thoughts and the ideas and the orders, because they worship Satan, literally. The power elite under Satan will see seismic, something about to break, seismic explosion or an earthquake about to occur, and they will trigger it with HAARP. And you can do that with HAARP, certainly. And when they trigger, what are they doing? They know that people like you and I, not the dumbed down public, but people like you and I, whom they're really targeting, will fear their HAARP, their technology, and thus they will fear Satan, because they'll say, wow, this is what the government can do. They can trigger earthquakes. They can do so much, and we're really afraid of them. And the more fear they can generate, the more worship that Satan's rulers on earth can attract from the public, the fearful public. But we're not in fear. We know no matter what they do, these earthquakes are going to be caused by God, and everyone's going to know that it's God. The Bible tells us that everyone will know that I am God. I am your God. In Isaiah, where he says, I will cause the earth to reel to and fro like a drunkard. Eventually, people are going to know that God is creating these natural disasters, not Satan. And so it's a battle of who will they worship, who will mankind worship, God or Satan. Trying to get back to a little bit of the science of it. We have the prophecy. We have so many fields of evidence that this object came in the past. We have every 36 and a half centuries. 36 and a half centuries ago, you can check Wikipedia, and you can check ecologists, ancient ecological studies. They have found, and I got this through Wikipedia, that forests in North America and in the British Isles and elsewhere around the world, 36 and a half centuries ago, they found that the tree rings on some of these petrified trees were narrowed 36 and a half centuries ago, and almost to a very close, accurate resolution, time resolution. That is plus or minus maybe 10, 20 years, which is very, very close to precise degree of accuracy in dating. And the reason is, of course, you can count tree rings. Every tree ring represents a year. And they found that somewhere around 1630 BC, tree rings around the world were narrowed. This, of course, would be caused by all the volcanic explosions around the world, all of the extinct volcanoes becoming active and literally blanketing the entire atmosphere around the globe with volcanic ash, blocking out the sun's light, causing vegetation to deteriorate and die. And, of course, that would explain. That's the only explanation for these narrow tree rings. But that is your best source of information and is the most precise, that all these natural disasters did occur around 1630 BC. And they say, well, it's every 36 and a half centuries. So where are we now? We're pretty close to 36 and a half century, or 3,660 years. So that's a little bit more than 36 and a half centuries. We're pretty close to that time point, and we can see it all, natural disasters peaking now also. But again, you need two time points. You need two disaster periods in history in order to measure the time interval between those two indices, those two time indices. And in order to determine that the period is 36 and a half centuries, so we have to go back another 36 and a half centuries prior to 1650 or 1630 BC. Now, it's pretty hard when you go that many thousands of years back into the past. It's very hard to get an accurate measurement. But we have geologists, Pittman and Ryan, P-I-T-M-A-N-N, I believe, and Ryan, R-Y-A-N. You can look them up. They did geological studies on the Black Sea, and they found out that the Black Sea actually overflowed into another area, and it was a great flood that occurred. According to their dating, their geological dating, that flood occurred around 5,300 BC. So if you do the simple arithmetic, you'll find out that 36 and a half centuries ago, you had the great Exodus, the great 10 plagues of Exodus around 1630 BC. 36 and a half centuries again prior to 1630 BC takes you back to around 5300 BC, according to Pittman and Ryan. So now you have two index points, both of them having an equal interval of time, 36 and a half centuries, between the flood and the Israelites' exodus from Egypt. And if you go back even further, you can get a third point, with, of course, because of the great age of this previous disaster before the flood. Because it's so long ago, it's hard to get an accurate assessment. However, many archaeologists say that the great sinking of Atlantis occurred around 9,000 BC. And again, if you do the arithmetic, 1650 BC, that's 36 and a half centuries ago. 5300 BC is another 36 and a half centuries before that. 9,000 BC is another 36 and a half centuries before 5300 BC. So we've got three index points: the sinking of Atlantis, the great flood of Noah's day, and the Israelites' exodus from Egypt. Now that is amazing, and that's proof. Now, how could this happen so at regular time intervals? Well, this object is on a cometary orbit. It's a dwarf star. And again, scientists are telling us, even now, this phony, I think it's from the phony, this false cover-up story from Caltech, which is actually a surrogate of NASA. But this Caltech story says something like, to that effect, that it was that this object is not a big object, but it's on a cometary orbit. I remember reading that recently from some scientific publication. I don't remember exactly if the source was Caltech or not, but they did say it's on a cometary orbit. And we know by definition that comets are periodic. They're almost like clockwork. They come in a long elliptical orbit, and then they go back out again. It's like a comet is like a celestial pendulum. You know, the period, the time it takes for a pendulum on the grandfather's clock, for example, to make one complete swing back and forth is a regular, predictable period, time interval. And that's what comets are. They're celestial, that's a celestial pendulum that comes in and out. Halley's Comet, for example, is well known to come into our solar system and out every about 75 years. So just by the periodicity, the regular periods of this object coming in and destroying Earth, we have a fabulous, very powerful and convincing piece of evidence. Just by the time, regular time intervals of destruction throughout history that we just described, that this object indeed came in, and it is indeed due to come back again within the near future.
Are you familiar with the updates that Terrell has been posting?
Yeah, about the alignments. You mean, he says every half year there's an alignment between this object. And he's probably right. If the object has actually come up to head and shoulder, I should say, I like to say shoulder to shoulder with all the other planets on the ecliptic plane. But that means it's part of that invisible disk has now reached a position where it is among that the objects, the planets that are on that invisible disk in space on which all the planets revolve around the sun, which is called the ecliptic, sort of like a big CD, a big disk.
Or a big circular
table. You might visualize it, a revolving table with various small objects on that table representing all the planets. Well, Planet X originally, according to the murdered Dr. Robert S. Harrington, I will say murdered because the evidence is so strong, the circumstantial evidence is so strong that he was murdered just at the time when he was about to reveal his his visual telescopic photographs that he had taken from the Black Birch Observatory in New Zealand, showing this object where he knew he had studied, done extensive calculations to find out where this object was, used as the sightings that had been done by the infrared astronomical satellite, and he went down to take a picture of it, and he came back and he died. Just before he had announced that he was going to reveal his telescopic photographs and the findings as to whether or not this object was actually coming into our solar system. Well, he died before he could do that. Died in January of 1993 from a very rapid cancer. Well, they used cancer to kill many people. They killed Jack Ruby in the Kennedy assassination with cancer so that he could not talk.
Yep. You know, and they've been killing a lot of the astronomers. It seems like astronomy is a very hazardous profession lately.
It's a good point. You know, I have to go back at all the records that I found of astronomers that were murdered. There was a paleo astronomer, that is someone who does ancient astronomy, some great scholar in that area. A female scholar, she died, it would look like a murder, it was a few years ago. I've got that somewhere, I've got to bring that out. Then there was the great Japanese astronomer, Dr. Morita, M-O-R-I-T-A, people can look his name up. While they were building this ALMA observatory, several years ago, they were in the process of building this observatory. The Atacama Large Millimeter Array, which I had mentioned earlier, in which they discovered what they published and stated to be, what they believed to be Planet X. They published their sightings, two sightings, in December, a couple of months ago. And, while that observatory was being constructed several years ago, Dr. Morita was beaten to death outside of his apartment down there in Chile. He was one of the team. He was the leader, the astronomer, the leader of all the astronomers in this team of astronomers from around the world who were descending on and becoming a team of the Atacama Large Millimeter Array because evidently we don't know why, but why these astronomers were building the largest telescope in the world, but it seems quite obvious that they all wanted to get together and bypass the government restrictions on sightings. in the secret, and to overcome all the secrecy that the government had instituted. They're smart. They know what's going on in space. They're a lot more knowledgeable about objects in space than we are, apparently, obviously. So they decided to get together and build this independent telescope. And what did they? What did the diabolical ruling elite do? They had Dr. Morita, the chief astronomer from Japan, beaten to death. And this was a terror tactic. They always do that. When they have someone beaten to death, that's designed to terrorize all the other people on the team. And thank God they didn't terrorize them enough, because they still made the sighting and still announced the sighting of Planet X. And now NASA is in a panic. They got their surrogate. They could, that NASA is too clever to come out with this phony Planet 9 report, which they blasted all over the television networks because they wanted it to be high profile to try to delude us with their fallback, new, desperate story. The change in the story was no longer there is no Planet X, it doesn't exist, but now the fallback desperation story that Atacama forced them to go to was, yes, there is an object out there, but don't worry, it's not coming in, it's not a threat.
Well, if we aren't supposed to worry, why are they scurrying to fill their dumbs right now?
Because they want us to be ignorant.
That's
while they
right.
take cover. And, again,
I actually saw a video, John, about 2 months ago of a convoy of Walmart, Kroger. All, you know, there were like 4 or 5 Walmart trucks, then Kroger. They were and they were followed and filmed going right to an underground dump.
There you go. Hey, you know, what you just said, that's so important. If you could get that film or any supporting evidence to that, that fits into the information that we have, that a lot of Walmarts are closing down. Now that explains why. Just think, all the goods from Walmart are being shipped there to their underground cities.
They're stocking their underground cities heavily right now. And also I was watching Jim Baker one day, and John Shorey was on there, and they were talking about the dehydrated food companies were all contacted by the government wanting to know exactly how much food they have on site right now. And they asked them, well, what do you want to know how much food we have? And they said, because in the event of a disaster, we're going to come in and take it.
Wow. Yeah. And that's so infuriating to know that their people are being kept ignorant. They're going to allow millions of people to die and not alert them, of course, because they don't want to upset their already toppling economy. Their collapsing economy will collapse even faster.
Right.
So the more they can keep us...
Guests in the room wants to know, how do you get to those underground cities? No, you won't even be able to get near those underground cities because they are heavily armed. And that's why they have pictures of the soldiers in Denver Airport with machine guns.
You know, I'm the only one who still has the Jesse Ventura Apocalypse 2012 TV broadcast of the underground cities, first at the Denver airport, showing the murals on the Denver airport, and then where Jesse Ventura's producer, Michael Braverman, goes underground, and it was allowed into Cheyenne Mountain in the battle.
Yeah, I saw
Cheyenne
that.
Mountain.
I saw that. You know,
well, they took that
I
down.
Noticed.
I don't see that on YouTube. Do you still see it on YouTube? I don't.
No, it's gone.
Well, I have it. Fortunately, I DVD recorded it, the show.
Good for you.
And I put it on my Vimeo channel. But, you know, I was suspicious enough not to name it Jesse Ventura Apocalypse 2012.
Yeah, and when he was
that,
shown the underground domes, and, you know, they can actually, I mean, it's a city. There are streets under there. They drive semis down in under there. They have parking areas. I mean, it's just a whole city. And when he was at the entrance of that, what did he say to that guy? You mean to tell me if there's some kind of disaster and everybody came running here and we were beating on this door, you wouldn't let us in? And what did they say? That's what that guy right there with that machine gun's for.
That's right. He said you could knock all day. And he said, would you fire on Coloradoans in panic trying to get away from some natural disaster? And he looked at his eyes shifted. This is a Colonel Robert Wynn, the commander of the security force. And his eyes shifted and he said, those men are trained to defend this facility. And they'll do what it takes. Meaning, we'll shoot people if we have to. Nobody's getting in here. And he said, those multi-ton blast doors are going to be slammed shut long before you get here. You can knock all day. Anyway, I put it up on my Vimeo channel, and I'm going to have to, that reminds me, I have to post the link to that Vimeo report and so that everybody can see it, everybody can download it from Vimeo and put it on their YouTube channel so there's no way they can completely erase it, and I and others can put it back up. I'm surprised it's not back up on YouTube. I guess they have ways of scanning, looking for the name Jesse Ventura Apocalypse 2012, and when somebody puts it up on YouTube, they take it down right away. So
yeah,
I don't
well,
give it
the
name.
They're trying to keep this pretty hush up the closer we get. We're coming up on the last probably 10, 15 minutes of the show, so why don't you tell us what we got to look forward to this year? I mean, how close are we to the time?
I never like to set dates. I know Terrell sets dates for earthquakes and Gilbert's art. I have learned God says no man knows the hour or the day.
Yeah, I don't set dates either.
Well, I can tell you is that's going to get worse.
I don't set either, but what I'm asking is, do you feel that we are going to go through natural disasters before the shift?
Here's the way it
what
happens.
What have we got to coming up on our plate?
Here's the way it happens. It's like a dimmer light, you know, with a slide switch on it or a rotary switch. You rotary dial, you can turn that dimmer light slowly and very slowly, and the light will gradually increase. It doesn't switch abruptly from dark to light. That's what's happening in terms of the earthquakes and the natural disasters. They are increasing very slowly. They have been increasing over the last 10 years. Now that this object is coming in, because it's not going to be a linear increase in disasters, because we have this object made a looping turn around the sun, and it's being on an elliptical orbit and not colliding with the sun. It actually loops around the sun. I'll try to make it real quick because
when it loops around the sun, John, is that when we're going to experience the 3 days of darkness?
Well, it's made its outer loop way out there, but when it gets over the top of the sun, yeah, I mean, the sun, what's going to happen is, you see, the darkness occurs, according to my studies, when there is, first of all, one thing can create the darkness, and that is the slowing and the stopping of the rotation of the Earth. And we have our best source of evidence on that as to that with the God speaking through his prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 24. And quote chapter verse 20 of Isaiah chapter 24, God says, the Earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed like a cottage. Well, that word cottage is wrong. I looked up the real word. The original Hebrew word is not cottage, it's hut. So the earth shall, and the word removed is wrong too. It's not removed. So the translators often made mistakes, the King James English translators, in translating from the Hebrew. Here's what the Hebrew words say when you look it up in the Strong's Concordance of the Hebrew language. I'm going to put the right words in and replace the words removed and cottage. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall nod like a hammock. That's a pole shift. Visualize, I'll show you how that's a pole shift. If something nods like a hammock, if the earth nods, take a globe of the earth, put it in a hammock, in your backyard hammock. Pull the hammock back. What happens to the globe, this planet Earth globe, model globe? when you pull the hammock back and prior to letting it swing. Well, where was what was the North Pole when the hammock was level? Now rotates so that the North Pole goes to where the equator should be. And the equator goes to where the South Pole and the North Pole are. That's what a pole shift, that would be a 90-degree pole shift. However, it's not going to be such an extreme pole shift. We don't know how extreme it will be, because God says, our Savior says in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13, that this will be the worst disaster ever since the world began, worse than the sinking of Atlantis. So anyway, that's what happens to the Earth when it slows down in its rotation. Visualize a child with a spinning top. Did you ever have a top spinning top as a child, or did you ever see one?
Yeah.
It rotates at a very fast speed on top of a pinpoint bottom pole or axis, and it stays erect because of its rotation. That's the way how Earth stays erect, because it's rotating. But when this object comes by, and it hasn't come by yet because it's now looping, making its big outer loop way, way out there. And I found this out from years of studying and from reports that are coming in, et cetera. I don't have a telescope. I can't tell. And no amateur astronomers can tell, but I can surmise from all the evidence that I've been putting together over the years that this object has been making its looping U-turn around the sun. You see, it overshot the sun from below. It came in from below Earth and the sun, and now it overshot. It went past, and now the sun is pulling it back again. So it's getting slower. It's going slower as it gets pulled back in the opposite direction from which it came. And in the process of the sun's gravity pulling it back again, it is making a U-turn. And you could probably visualize how that could happen. The sun keeps pulling it back, and that's how it's like a car making a sharp U-turn. There's a centrifugal force that's holding it, causing it to go outward away, but the sun is pulling it back. Well, anyway, this U-turn takes years, could take several years, and it has been taking, in my estimation, about 5 or 6 years or more from the time that we had really bad earthquakes back in, 2009, Haiti earthquake, the other earthquake in New Zealand, Christchurch, New Zealand, and the one in Fukushima, whatever. Around 2009 to 2011, we had really serious earthquakes, indicating to me that at that time, Planet X was zooming underneath the ecliptic, underneath the sun, getting close to the sun and the inner planets, causing all these earthquakes, and then it overshot. And in so overshooting, it was coming up closer to the ecliptic, but going farther out. So that's where the big U-turn is being made. That's why we're seeing a relatively quieter, less disastrous period. And now it's coming back, making a U-turn back over the outer planets and coming back above the ecliptic. And what the 3 days of darkness you referred to is when it comes over the solar system. And I wish I could have a picture of this, but you'll have to make an image in your mind of this big object coming over a disk, like a CD disk, over the top of it, toward the center hub of the disk. The center hub of the disk would represent the sun. And as it comes over the top, we have the Earth revolving around that hub, and this object is going to pass over Earth's orbital path one time, the first time, pass over the sun, and then it'll pass over Earth's orbit a second time. And that indicates to me that this might be the 3.5 years of the tribulation, where Earth gets two disasters, one where the Planet X is coming over Earth on its way over the top of the sun, and then the second crossover Earth's orbital path after it has passed over the sun.
But we're going to experience two dramatic events.
Yeah, and the first one may be with the beginning of the war, because even though Nostradamus was not Christian, God often gives prophecy to non-Christians, such as Balaam, the evil prophet in the book of Numbers. So Nostradamus may have gotten prophecy from God when he said, quote, or something to this effect, I'll paraphrase, the king of terror shall come in the sky before and after war rules. So this thing will be seen in the sky if God has indeed prophesied to Nostradamus. This object will be seen in the sky. They will start a big war, and the Antichrist will take over at the end of this fast, very quick war of destruction, a nuclear war. The world's nations will be bloodied and damaged. They will call out for a one-world government, a one world of peace and humanity, human beings united together under one-world government at the end of this bloody nuclear war, which destroys all the first world people, kills many of the people there. And the Antichrist will initiate his 3.5-year reign of terror. First, it will be a reign of seeming peace and benevolence, and then it will become evil, where in the temple he will eventually demand to be worshipped. This is the abomination of desolation that Jesus talks about three times in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, which is referred to in Daniel, the abomination of desolation. When he says, you must worship me, and in Thessalonians, Paul talks about this, the man of son of perdition will be sit in the temple, calling himself God, demanding to be worshipped as God. I think that's in Second Thessalonians 4, somewhere around there. So he's going to, that's 3.5 years. At the end of 3.5 years will come utter destruction when Planet X makes its second pass over planet Earth's orbital path. And that's when all the volcanoes erupt around the world, because it's so close to Earth and it's so excited the sun, that the prophecies of Revelation 16 will come to pass, where there is such great solar blasting that the Earth is scorched, and all the kings and the rich men and the captains will go hide themselves under the rocks of the mountains, hiding themselves from the wrath of the Lamb, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what we have to look forward to. There's so much more that could be said, but the Antichrist has not arisen. So you mentioned about time. This is a key point. The Antichrist has not arisen, and we know from numerous scriptures in Daniel and in Revelation and other places that the Antichrist will reign for 3.5 years, 42 months approximately. That's approximately 1,260 days, 3.5 years. That Antichrist has not arisen yet. We suspect it may be Obama, because Obama is now, just recently in the news, trying to gain leadership in the United Nations. Have you heard about that?
Yes. And I know that the Queen is also pushing for world war right now. I read an article about that.
Well, that's really serious, because, they want war because, look, they know that disasters are about to occur. They've got to create this destruction, so they have to make sure that they are safely underground before the nuclear war begins, before they trigger this nuclear war. And I really respect the Russians and Putin, because I suspect that they may hopefully try to disable those underground cities by contaminating them with some type of nuclear contamination, or by somehow making them uninhabitable. I hope that happens. It's unfortunate.
Well, do you know that are you familiar with George Green?
Yes. He was
an
insider.
And George Green said that they all bought property south of the equator because they knew when the nukes hit that all the fallout would stay above the equator so that they would be safe down there.
Well, that may be true, but God is going to foil them, because God tells us in the scriptures in Obadiah that no matter where they go, they go to the highest where the eagles fly, God is going to seek them out.
I had a prophetic dream about the Dumbs, probably about 2 years ago. I had a dream that there were a bunch of people standing in the tunnel. There were a lot of women in the front with business suits on and men with suits. And the earthquake happened, and those walls cracked and broke open. And I don't know what it was that was coming at them, if it was lava or water, but this great big wall of something was rushing at them, and they were all screaming and running the other way.
Well, that's probably what will happen. God is not going to allow these people to escape, that's for sure. I don't think they're going to be safe down there. No, and you know why? They're afraid. They're afraid to go down there, but they have no choice, because if they stay on the surface, they are going to be scorched like all the rest of us. But God will protect us. Look for the movie Knowing, everybody out there. Knowing, 2009 movie with Nicolas Cage. That movie foretells what's going to happen with the solar scorching on the surface. People will be burnt. They'll be trying to go underground. That movie is very prophetic. God is going to protect us no matter what. I mean, he's going to find a way to supernaturally keep us from being destroyed. Now, this is what I have, through prayer, and maybe others too have gotten this. What is going to happen is at the very end, when Planet X gets closest and to our orbital path, Earth is going to undergo such volcanic eruptions because of the heating up of the core. It's constantly being heated up intensely, so that the magma within the Earth, molten magma, is going to erupt all over the Earth and envelop the Earth entirely. And I sat up in a dream one night. It was a strange dream, and I know it was from God, because it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up from this vivid dream where I was dreaming that the Earth was enveloped from the North Pole to the South Pole and all around in flaming lava. And I woke up and I said, that's the lake of fire. That's what the lake of fire is. Because think about this. God's promise is that all the people who resist and who shake their fist at God and refuse his offer of salvation at the end time, when the angel comes around in Revelation and says, worship the God who created the heavens and the earth, and him only. And this angel, a messenger of God, was begging people to worship God and they would be saved from this disaster. God gave them that offer up to the very last moment, and they continued to shake their fist at God and curse God. And so what's going to happen is there's going to be people cursing God in China. There's going to be people cursing God in Germany and in Nigeria and in Brazil and in the United States. People will be cursing God. All over all of them, the scriptures say, they will be cast into the lake of fire. Well, how are you going to get people all around the world to go into one little lake of fire? Only when the entire earth is a lake of fire, enveloped in flaming lava. I mean, after all, that's where all the fire is, within the center of the earth.
Well, you know, we had three more volcanoes that became active during the Super Bowl game.
Just tell me again, please.
There were three volcanoes that became active during the Super Bowl game.
Wow, that's a prophetic sign. That's amazing. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I read that today. We do have a guest with their hand up, so we'll
allow
the question. Yes, Arizona? Would you like to ask?
Yes, I just want to say you're right on about Obama. I had a prophetic dream about Obama. I dreamed prophetically that he was going to try to seduce his people, God's people, I mean, that he was very seductive. Many years ago, you know, I never thought of myself as a prophetess, but I believe that in these instances, this is prophecy that God has given me. When Obama first got into office, I said it's going to be somebody of mixed race, because he not only will the Caucasian people follow him, but the black people will too.
Exactly. I mean, most of the world is dark skinned.
Yeah.
And he has to appeal to all the dark skinned. I mean, you know, we love all people of all nationalities and all races.
Yes.
But
in
terms of worship, people are of dark skinned people are going to worship looking for a man who is going to be the man of peace, and much more than a Caucasian guy. So he would have great popularity. You're right.
And he deceived everybody. He wasn't a man of peace. He's dropped more bombs than any president in our history.
Well, that's what the Antichrist does. So he meets all the qualifications of the future Antichrist. He's a deceiver, a man who claims to be a man of peace, but he's really Satan's man of death, master.
Yeah. Do you remember Bad Baby about that photograph of him with the dragon's eggs on his desk and the bow and arrow?
He had a dinner at the White House where he gave a speech, and he put that photograph up on the wall on a slideshow. Are you
dragon's
familiar
eggs.
With that photograph?
No, you mean dragon's eggs?
He had a photograph made where he's sitting in the Oval Office, and he's in a chair like a king. He has a crown on. He has a crossbow across his lap, and then on the table are the three dragon's eggs. And he made a joke about it. He said, "And lately, back at the old house, this is what we've been doing, hanging around doing." Mocking the Bible is what
he was
doing.
The dragon's eggs symbolize the birth of the Antichrist. You see, the egg, the dragon is Satan in the book of Revelation, and his egg is going to hatch him as the Antichrist. That's what the dragon eggs represent. I'm going to take a two-minute break. I hope I can get back in time before the show is over, because I wanted to mention our hope for...
Yeah, we can go a little bit longer. Go ahead.
Okay, good.
Wow, this is absolutely amazing, Bad Baby, what is happening with this show.
Well, I had listened to many recordings that John did, and like I said, he's very highly educated, and he's done a lot of research, and I take a lot of creed in what he says.
Yes. Yeah,
I know anybody can put a picture up, but Obama actually put this picture up on a slideshow at a dinner he had at the White House, making a joke about it. He also just made a joke about, what was it? Oh, he was joking about people that suspect him. He said, and for all them right-wingers that think I'm about to do something traumatic and drastic, and then he rolls his eyes back and he said, you're right, like it's a joke. You know, and what he does is he flaunts these things right in everybody's face.
Right. I'm going to have to mute myself because there are some people coming in, but great show, Bad Baby.
Thanks,
really
honey.
Good show. Okay.
So anyways, there are some, like I said, the three volcanoes that became active, I just read that yesterday, that the three of them became active during the Super Bowl halftime show. And I thought, wow, I wonder if they used HAARP or something to do that, or, you know, I mean, it's just awful coincidental, it really was. And,
it might have been signs from God.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
I saw a video today where they were showing what the ceremony, it actually was a ceremony, a satanic ceremony that they performed. Have you looked at any of those videos, Jen?
Of the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
No, I haven't, but I bet they're all over the internet on YouTube. I'm sure you could find them
on
YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to check that out. But I'm glad you brought that up. There's a few things I wanted to keep in mind during the limited time to say here, and that is that we need to DVD record or videotape, and then I could transfer onto video onto DVD and put it up on the internet, on YouTube and Vimeo. Satanic hand signs that are all over the place. They're getting to be so frequent and so blatant, you know, where they point their finger like you make a gun with your thumb up
stalkers,
and the finger pointed. They're all
yeah,
doing
my
that.
Stalkers drive past my house and do that. And I saw, what's his name, LaVey on TV one time on The Tonight Show.
And
he was showing how they used that sign and that they when they point it at you or like they're shooting you with it, that's how they cast a spell.
Isn't that something? Well, I would love to get that Anton LaVey interview and put that on there so we could show that this is what their plot is. And I see that on the Weather Channel. I see it on the TV talk shows, even on the cooking shows that my wife watches. They're pointing a finger at you like this, and then they're constantly moving their hands. I've never seen so much hand gyrations in my life. Years ago, you never saw all those hand movements, but now when they talk, their hands are up in the air all over the place. It's crazy. It's absurd. And I know there's a reason for it. Then they make the sign, the Joel Osteen, the big mega preacher, Joel Osteen. I saw him making the 666 Antichrist sign. What that is you know, like the OK sign where you make an O with your index finger and thumb.
You keep the other three
and then the other three fingers are up. Joel Osteen was doing, I caught him doing that. I didn't get a chance
to report. Well, Joel Osteen is, he does not preach the Bible in his church. You don't ever see him open the Bible up or read any scripture.
I know.
He's one of them happy church people.
I think many of them on TBN are, you know, it's really tragic.
I saw an interview where he actually was asked, is Jesus Christ the way to heaven? And he said, well, I can't tell you if it is or isn't.
Wow, that's horrible.
You know, and
these men and women
you know,
are
and then they were asking, him about gay people, and he said, it's not up to me to judge whether they get into heaven or not, so I can't tell them whether they're right or wrong.
He should,
and
my
that's
answer
why
would
he
have been,
doesn't.
I would pray. My answer would be, I would pray for them. You know, just trust God to change their hearts.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he is really in cahoots with Oprah Winfrey, and Oprah Winfrey is completely satanic and part of the elite, so, you know.
Yes, I mean, and Paula White, I don't see her anymore, but her hands were going like satanic hand signs one after another, as if she had really a hand sign program all laid out for herself. It was horrible. I don't see her anymore, but it's just all over. You can go on and on, but the point is that they are satanizing us with the program called Lucifer now, making him such a nice, lovable, charismatic guy. That's exactly what Satan does. Anyway, but let me tell you, because of the limited time, what we need to do is videotape the stuff or DVD record it and put it all together and wake people up, those who are need to be, because our purpose is to alert people to the coming of Satan. And when they know that, they'll know that they must flee to God. God tells us that when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the temple, as Daniel had said, those who have ears to hear. In other words, not everybody's going to understand what God means, God the Savior meant. He says, only those who have ears to hear. That means those who have his spirit will understand that abomination of desolation will be when the Antichrist demands to be worshipped as God. And isn't that what Thessalonians tells us, that he's going to be sitting in temple claiming to be God and demanding to be worshipped as God? But here's the good news. I mean, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray to God and turn to him and trust that God will overcome all this great supernatural power of evil, because we know God will do it as long as we keep our minds focused on the God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and feel his presence, because he keeps our heart beating. And in the scriptures of many places, in Isaiah chapter 43, 45, 48, and in Jeremiah and other books of the Bible, he claims that the Lord Jesus Christ is Yahweh, the Creator, the one whom Moses spoke to in Exodus 3. Well, anyway, we keep our minds on him, and what's going to happen is his spirit will work through us to change many people. And here's the good news. 1 Corinthians chapter 50, Paul says that you will be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So at the very end, when this destruction explodes and the entire world, those who left on earth are in the earth, which is the global lake of fire, will be on earth. But we will have been taken up. How? our spirit will be like electricity, like we have an energy, which is our spirit, that transcends the body, the mass of the body, the flesh. And that spirit, which is essentially electrical or electromagnetic, nobody really knows, but that's how you transmit electricity in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, we will be transmitted up to be with God. And that's how we will be saved before the lake of fire erupts in enveloping Earth in volcanic lava. We will be taken up, our bodies will be left behind, but our spirit will be transmitted just as electricity is transmitted at the speed of light to be with God. Because your spirit, your soul, is energy, some kind of non-weightless matter. So, and then we will have a new body, as we're told in 1 Corinthians. This corruptible body will be raised in an instant, incorruptible. That is brand new. You'll never get old. You'll never get sick. You cannot be injured. It will be an indestructible, eternal, fabulous body to be with God forever. And that's the good news that we have to look forward to. It's not a myth, the fact that you will have an earth that will be pristine and renewed perfectly. And there will be a real body that you'll have, and there'll be real joy. The only thing is there will not be gender. There'll be no men and no women. Everybody will be one gender. So there'll be no need for sex because there's no need for reproduction. But it'll be the most glorious, wonderful future for all of us. And it's coming soon. Don't be afraid. Don't know that this future, that this body that was given to you so miraculously, is going to be the miraculous quality of God's creation, will be multiplied many, many times with your new body, far better than this current body, far more spectacular, and a world that is far more beautiful than this beautiful world, because we know God has created this fabulous body right here that we can see, and created this wonderful world that we could see and touch and stand on. So we know that he can create. Therefore, we have the evidence that he will give us a much better body and a much better world in a few years. So death does not exist. It's been conquered by God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well said. Thank you so much, John, for coming on tonight and all the information you've given out and all the hope and enlightenment that you're giving us. I really appreciate it. I'd love to have you come back and talk with us some more.
Well, we need to, because we need to get and I'm so happy that you invited me and that you and your listeners have contributed so much to this. And I'm glad to see that you're so knowledgeable, much more knowledgeable than many of the other hosts that we know of. So you're welcome. And why don't we work together?
I do my homework. I do put a lot into, when I want to talk about a subject, I like to know what I'm talking about. And I've been researching all of this stuff for years. And I suffer greatly for it. I am targeted. When I had the show with Kevin Annette a few weeks ago exposing the children being murdered, they put more people on me and more microwaves. I always tell the Lord, you know, whatever it is I have to go through, I will be your soldier. I will be your warrior. And I just tell him he's the potter and I'm the clay.
Exactly. So that's wonderful. So let's continue to work on that, contemplating as you go through your day. The prayer doesn't have to be like most people mistakenly think, where you have to say something to God. No, you just listen for God, and his spirit will give you insights, will give you direction, will give you energy. And that spirit of God, let your light so shine, will come from God through you to others around you. And those who are demon-possessed, which is just about everybody, because every one of us has our ancestors has permitted every one of us to have demons enter into us at will. So every one of you, us, or those people around you, will be influenced by God's spirit flowing out of you if you invoke God's spirit by simply contemplating his presence in you, his heart-beating presence. And that's what he does. So let your light of him shine by thinking of his presence. When you don't think of him, when your mind goes off of God, then you have essentially hung up the phone on God's spirit.
Disconnected.
He's still there beckoning. He's still there knocking at the door, but he says, I want you to answer. That's what he says in Revelation 3. Behold, I knock. Why does he have to knock? If the door was open, he wouldn't have to knock, would he? But he's beckoning us to just simply, how do you open a door that he's talking about? You simply
the same thing
be
with
able-
our angels that he sends to protect us. They're around us always, but they are not allowed to help us if we don't ask.
That's right. We have to contemplate the presence. So if your mind is on like a movie, if you're watching some terrible movie where the people are killing each other, you're not invoking his spirit. You've hung up on God. So what I have to do is give up my life. He says, those who give up their life for my sake will find eternal life. Those who find their own life will lose it. In other words, you find your life here, you have fun, you watch television, you go to movies, go on cruises, have a good time, don't think about God. You have found your life on this earth, but you're going to lose it after when your time comes to pass on. You will go to the second death. But those of you who give up your life, give up your time, forget about this life, give up your life for my sake, saith the Lord Jesus, and put your mind on him. Focus your thoughts. It's the mind. The whole thing is the mind, where the mind is. If the mind is contemplating his presence, then you've given up this life, the things of the world, for the presence of God. And then you will gain eternal life through that.
And don't let Satan change you or try to intimidate you.
He can never intimidate you if you're contemplating God's presence.
God immediately
dispels and vanquishes Satan every time you contemplate his presence. If somebody's getting angry with you, like I told you a story about my wife just now, it happened tonight. She was nice because I was contemplating God's presence. And when somebody comes against me, I know it's a demon in them attacking me, and God is saying, training me, okay, John, now what you got to do, someone's coming against you, that's demons, you know what you have to do. The only thing you can do to dispel them is to contemplate the Spirit of God, the presence. And when I do that, that demon, somehow that person changes, and the demon leaves him.
Presence of the Lord's love really does attract a lot of people. I'm sure you've looked at my Facebook page, John, and seen a lot of my postings. I put postings up with the Lord. I put postings up a lot about love. And one day I put one up and said, I was talking to God today, and he asked me, what do I want more than anything in my whole life? And I said, I want the love that you have in your heart. Put it in my heart, just like yours. Fill it up. And then I wrote, so today I'm going to share all that love with you all. And I got so many comments. Oh, my God, thank you. That is so beautiful. But that's how God's love works.
Yes. That's marvelous. And that's so inspiring that we must do the same thing every day. So give up those thoughts. Don't let the demons give you the wandering mind, that wandering mind that jumps from one crazy, senseless, meaningless thought to another. And he keeps you distracted until moment by moment until your time comes to die, and that person can no longer have eternal life because he allowed his mind to be dominated and distracted by demons. That's what movies are for, to keep the mind distracted by violence and hatred.
And did you
and
notice,
evil.
John, that
so
a lot
die,
of the movies that they're making right now are terrible. I won't watch them. They're horrifying.
There you go.
Zombies and people eating flesh and
it's more evidence that Satan is indeed. This should make an atheist a believer in God just to see this. And this is what our job is to do. But we have to get our direction. You can never go out and march out and go against these supernatural powers on your own. You know, anyone who thinks he's going to go out and do work for God on his own is doomed to be laughed at and thwarted by Satan's invisible demons, because all the preaching in the world from the greatest preacher, Billy Graham or whatever, will do nothing to change a person, to make a person turn to God, unless that person has the Spirit of God, invokes the Spirit of God himself. And that's what we must do first. You begin and end with the Spirit of God. He's holding your hand. I'm a little child, and I can go nowhere unless that big, great Lord holds my hand and leads me. I cannot do it on my own. So you grab his hand by simply contemplating his invisible, silent presence. Silent prayer, that's the prayer. Not to talk, no. Talking prayer doesn't work like silent listening prayer does.
I never hang up. I'm always talking to him.
That's great. And listen, too. Just feel, sit there quietly and meditate.
Yes.
Take all the thoughts out of your mind.
He tells me I can't do this, or I don't want you to go in there, or, you know, and I'll be like, why? And then I'll be like, no, never mind. I'm not even going to question it.
Right. That's true. So today I tried to do that. I said, I'm going to go upstairs in my dark room. I'll have the window facing the street, so I have the street light out there and everything. And I just sat there very quietly in the dark, looking out with the light coming in from the outside, and just didn't think of anything. I just cleared my mind and just relaxed and just felt God's presence and trusted that His Spirit was going to work through my mind and give me a scripture that I never knew.
On me about, I had a person I trusted, and I gave them $1,000 worth of, I bartered something with them. And I trusted them, and they were working on my farm. They were going to re-panel the garage for me. And I bought all the stuff and everything, and he came with his child, and I gave them the things. And he changed his phone number and stole the property from me.
That's happened to me, too.
Yeah, and I was going to... take him to small claims court, or I found out where he lived and got his home phone number, and I've been just trying to decide what am I going to do, and the Lord keeps telling me to leave it lie. He will deal with it.
Well, he said, right, didn't Jesus say, if a man steals your coat, don't go after him, let him have it?
Yes. Well, you know, the thing is, I think that I feel very sad that all this is going to happen and that he sold his soul so cheaply.
Yeah, well, you just pray for him. Even, you know, that's the thing that Jesus says, it's easy to love and pray for those whom you like and care for. But what about the ones that you don't like? You still have to pray for them. Except if they worship the devil. If they worship the devil, no, you let them go. But for those who are just plain old bad, but they don't worship the devil, there's always a chance that God will drive the devil out, the demons out of that person. So
exactly what I've been praying for, that the Lord will open his eyes and let him see before it's too late.
Right, because Christ said that, you know, it's easy to love somebody that's likable or lovable, but what about somebody that you hate? You still have to pray and trust that they are hateful. They're hateful.
But the thing is, I don't hate them. I just feel hurt. And the ironic thing is, the last day he was here unloading the siding, I was telling him how many people had ripped me off and taken advantage of me because I'm a widow alone. And I said, and you know, my friend called me the other day and quoted exactly in the Bible what the Lord says about harming widows and orphans. And he said, oh, yes, they'll get theirs. And then he did it to me.
Wow. Yeah. We'll just
pray. So that tells you he knows nothing about the Bible.
Yeah.
But we do have a question again.
Okay.
Yes, dear.
It's not a question, actually. I'm sorry.
You can make a comment.
I don't mean to take up so much of your time,
go ahead.
I feel led to read this. This is from my poetry site, and it's something that God gave me today. And I think there's somebody out there that needs to hear it. Would you mind if I read it, Dad, baby?
Go ahead, please.
Go right ahead, honey.
Okay. Called Bridges. It's a song. You're looking at the river, feeling down and weak. when you're wading in the water, it's rushing around your feet. When you want to reach the other side and feel you can't retreat, the same insane song in your head, and it's on repeat. Just remember there are bridges. They are made of words. Remember there are bridges, things you have not heard. Remember there are bridges made with human hands. Remember there are bridges, then you'll understand. The waters in that riverbed, they are cold and deep. They have a riptide current, so look before you leap. You can't stand against them. They will take you down. You may try to save another, but maybe you will drown. Just remember there are bridges. They are made of words. Remember there are bridges, things you have not heard. Remember there are bridges made with human hands. Remember there are bridges, then you'll understand. Reaching out ain't easy, but it doesn't get much worse than watching someone vulnerable living with a curse. It's like lifting the planet to pick up that lifeline phone. But there are people who care for you. Your life may be your own. Remember there are bridges. They are made from word. Remember there are bridges, things you have not heard. Remember there are bridges made with God's own hand. Remember there are bridges, you will understand. Bridge. Remember there are bridges when you're at a loss. They weren't made to jump from, they were made to cross. My soul survivor. That's my poet name, Soul Survivor.
Very nice.
That was beautiful.
And I think there is somebody out there that needs to hear that.
Well, thank you for reading it, and we appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm very humbled to be able to be on this show, actually.
Well, you're just a part of an equal partner in a conversation.
Thank you.
Well, we're honored to have you here. I loved all your poems, Kathy. You know that.
I know. I just, you know, there was somebody today on my poetry site that said he was going to kill himself. And I wrote that for him.
Oh, that's beautiful. And see, God's using you to save a life. So we're all the clay and he's the potter. And just remember, he's always with you.
That's right.
Okay, honey, well, thank you. I'm going to mute you back. It's getting kind of late. So, John, I would love to have you come back. How about if I get a hold of you and book you for one Friday next month?
Sure, that would be wonderful. I would appreciate that.
Well, it's, you know, we're going on our third hour here. We went 2.5 hours.
Wow.
I hate to keep you up all night.
Well, there's
but
so much...
I guess you're used to that. You've been on coast to coast, so...
No, actually, I have never been on coast to coast. I really don't care, you know. I mean, I'm not looking for any kind of personal glory. I just go on wherever, whoever calls me, I go on.
I heard one of your recordings on coast to coast. It must have been somewhere else I heard it.
Yeah, I was never interviewed by coast to coast, no. I don't know. It's... what their deal is.
Well,
I don't know how you get on there. I've never tried. I've never contacted them.
Yeah.
I
well,
mean, whoever.
They're
I don't contact anybody. I just wait
by
for
the
somebody.
Elite. You know, I've got a guest, Dr. Joy Jeffries Pugh, that I've interviewed, and she was on Coast to Coast, and as soon as she started talking about the pineal gland being the spiritual connection, they cut her off, went to a commercial. She was supposed to do 3 hours, and the producer came on and told her that she was done.
Yeah, you know, these shows, the ones that have the largest audiences are the ones that are carefully monitored by the diabolical ruling elite. And they come in there as CIA and the NSA, and they dictate to these most popular talk shows what they can say and what they cannot say. And there's various forms of inducement. Isn't it obvious how they would get them to do, the elite would get them to do what they want? One would be through bribery, another would be through threat.
His programming, after he talked about, because I used to listen all the time, I don't listen anymore because I can tell it's all controlled.
Yeah, that's right.
I noticed the change when he went to a wedding in Mexico, and he came back from there and said a terrible thing had happened to them, and that they got in the cab and was going to the airport, and all of a sudden they realized the cabbie wasn't going towards the airport. And he tried to talk to the cabbie, and the guy just kept driving and ignoring him. And then they noticed they had no handles on the windows or any door handles to get out. And they were taken to a location, and he said that he kind of ended the story then after that. He said, and all in all, he said, we ended up getting out of it and getting back into a different cabin out of there. But it was a traumatizing experience. And I thought, they took him for a ride.
Yeah, it was a fear. It was an intimidation act on their
part.
Right,
and I'm sure he skipped over a big part where somebody told him, you will do this, this, and this, or, this could happen again, and the next time you won't get out of the cab.
Exactly, and that's what they did with Alex Jones, too.
Well,
he's been unthreatened because he totally changed. So I don't even know.
Well, then you
got to
understand, too, they have people that they have to answer to, their sponsors. Someone like me, I don't make any money off of my show. I don't have any sponsors. I do all this. This is all my own contributing to humanity.
Right. So that's why we have to look for a lot of deception coming from some of our favorite shows. I have to say that Joyce Riley is still staunchly honest, and she refuses to be intimidated, and she has a pretty large audience. But Alex Jones has been, I don't blame him. I mean, he tried to do his best, but they intimidated him or tried to blackmail him. That's how they do it. They'll get anybody. They'll threaten members of the family. They've done this before. They did it with Oklahoma State Senator Charles Key to get him off of the Oklahoma City bombing.
Well, Kevin Annette had said that our Senate is completely controlled
with
child trafficking. If they get a senator that won't vote the way they want them to, they drug them and take them to one of these child trafficking houses and put them in bed with a bunch of children and film it, and they blackmail them.
Oh, exactly. That's so true. I mean, you're right. And they have women approaching them and alluring them. And then when they get involved in an act with a woman, it's all photographed. It's incredible. The horrible things that they do.
I think this is part of why this event is going to happen, because a lot of us that are targeted, that are being microwaved and harassed and gang stalked and have been praying and praying and praying for God to do something. And this is worldwide. This is the New World Order, and this is the way of them killing humanity without leaving a thumbprint. And this is the only way God's going to get them all, is to get them all at once.
Yep. So that's why your only hope against this evil is to continually, like right now, I have to contemplate God's presence. He has to be my silent companion. That's what it must be. Look, you know that I'm here. When you're walking with somebody, a friend that you know, you trust and you know that they're there, you're talking with them, you're commuting, corresponding with them. However, we know that the most powerful companion we have and most glorious companion is God. And just because we cannot see God, like right now, you cannot see him, we ignore him and don't even realize he's there. Well, the demons have a lot to do with that blindness that we get. Even as believers, from moment to moment, we can be blinded by demons as long as we take our minds off of God. And that's what I'm saying. So you walk with him, and you're, and his presence is there for real. He's the most tangible, real person that you can imagine, even though he's the most invisible. So you just walk in his presence, feel his presence in your mind, and you will be protected from all that evil.
Absolutely.
Otherwise,
I
thought
I'd tell you one story that I had seen on the internet. That it's amazing. These people were in a music store with their children, and their little girl that was 4 years old was sitting on the drum set, and they were up at the counter, and they were purchasing a flute for their son. And right when they got to the counter and started to do the transaction, a car came through the wall and ran that drum set right down. And the woman, the mother, just started screaming, my daughter, because she was sitting at that drum set. And all they could see was this big cloud of dust from the cement. And when the dust started to clear, here comes her little girl running right at her and said, Mommy, Mommy. And she said, How did you survive that? The car, you were sitting on the drums. And she said, Jesus' hands lifted me up and moved me over.
I believe it. Oh, that's so marvelous. It's such a wonderful story of faith, that, to know that God is really there, invisible though he may be. His angels will. That happened to me too. My life was saved in a car accident on the New Jersey Turnpike years ago when I was an atheist. And I know it was God who saved me for the future. And it's happened so many other times where people's lives have been saved. I've gotten so many stories. Yes, it's so true that God is with us. And as long as, don't fear any of that evil, others would be normally terrified of all the evil. And that's what we were talking about before. Satan is going to use his evil intimidation and threats and power forces to so scare and so terrify the people that they will have to worship him when he demands it. But we will refuse, as Daniel and did in Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to worship Nebuchadnezzar. And they threw them into the furnace, and they were willing to go into the furnace to be burnt. And that furnace was stoked to hotter than ever before, so hot, it was made so hot that the men who were stoking the fire, the Egyptians or the Chaldeans, were actually burned to death. But the three men in there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were not even singed. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, and he said, I see a fourth one looking like the Son of Man. So the Lord Jesus Christ was in there protecting them. And he says, when you go through the fire, I will be with you. I will protect you from the fire.
John, have you heard the testimony of the one girl that was in the back seat of the Bronco when they were under siege at the Oregon, when the FBI shot LaVey?
No, I have not heard that.
Oh, I'm going to send you that video. And I'm also going to try to find the video where Obama has the picture of the dragon eggs and the crossbow and all that. I'll find that and send that to you too. But this girl, her family had come to the refugee camp to sing. They were Christians. They came there to sing and fellowship. And her family left early, and she had to stay behind. And they offered, LaVey and Bundy and them offered to give her a ride into town when they went in, because they were going in for this meeting with the sheriff and other ranchers, and they were going to teach them the constitutional rights. That's what they were going to. So anyways, this girl had nothing to do with them being protesters or anything. When LaVey got out of the car, she said, he had his hands up, and he was telling them, just shoot me, because they were shooting at the vehicle. And she felt he got out trying to draw the bullets away from them. After they killed LaVey, she said they bombarded that vehicle with bullets. And you can see some of it in the video from the helicopter. You can see flashes and ricochets. And she said she does not No, they every time she would look up, there were lasers on their backs, on their heads, on their legs. And she said, all we did was just pray, God protect us, God protect us. And they couldn't understand why none of them were shot.
Wow, that's amazing. Another miracle from God.
Yes.
I
have that testimony. I posted it on my Facebook page, but I'll send it to you. When you hear what they went through, and then there was a pastor that said something about calling her a liar, that there weren't that many bullets, and she chastised him. She says, how dare you not believe that God didn't shield us from being her arm that day?
Well, that's what Satan will do, deny God's power. So this is all evidence that God is defeating Satan. God can overcome Satan. We are being inundated with evil. All these men doing these horrible things, working for the satanic government. But we will continue to keep our minds focused on God and be his servants. No longer am I beholden to be a patriot of this country, of this government. My worship is only of God and nothing else. Otherwise, I'm guilty of sin by idolatry to a government.
That's exactly what they want. They want us to worship.
It is written. This is what the Lord Jesus said to Satan when Satan tried to tempt him in the wilderness. He said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. So I don't worship any government, and I will continue to trust God. I don't have any courage in myself or strength, but my trust is in God and allow him to do his will through me.
Okay, well, John, I'll send those emails out to you, and I will also send out a date for next month, and we'll have you come back. And I want to thank you so much for all your time and your research and your spiritual uplifting, and you just have a blessed night and a blessed life.
I will. So thank you so much, and promise me and all of your listeners that we will contemplate God's presence as often as we can, and that silent prayer will be the greatest power that man could ever exert against this evil that's enveloping the world.
Amen, and pray for protection for our country and our children.
Yes, pray.
Okay, on that note, everybody, I'm going to close out with my closing bumper song. And we will get a hold of John and have him come back. Thanks, John.
Thank you. Appreciate your having me.
want to thank you all for joining me. I hope you enjoyed the show. Join me next week, and we're going to have Robert Evans on, and we'll be talking again about Planet X. Everybody have a blessed night and a blessed week. And remember, Bad Baby loves you.